All right, we're going to be in here on the top of Yutet Amud Aleph, on the first line, V'hilchata, the locha, the conclusion from the discussion yesterday amongst the Amoraim as to what's considered to be kasher, as to the furthest extent on the trachea where one could do a shechita, meaning that the Gemara has been discussing how far up. Obviously, there's more room going down the trachea to do the shechita. There is number of positions brought by Rashi in yesterday's daf as to what exactly that means, below the trachea that is kasher. But Rashi writes, and the Baal Tosfot on the previous Amud write the same thing, that none of that's halacha the maaseh, because we paskin like Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus disagrees both with Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Yehuda and with the Chachamim, that the point at which you can do shechita to is beyond the Tabata Gdola. It's beyond cricoid cartilage, which is the area of the Tabata Gdola. It's above that point. And as we're discussing now, how far above that point. So this is all within the Shita of Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. And it says, V'ilchata mishipoy ha-kodva ulamata k'shera. That the halacha is that from the shipoy ha-kova, which means from the point at which the kova peaks, which is that cover that sits above, which is the thyroid cartilage, that sits above the cricoid cartilage, that point where it peaks, it has a cap on it, and that peak over there is considered to be the shipoy ha-kova ulamata, when it starts to descend, meaning that it reaches a point and it goes down in both directions. The point where it descends towards the trachea, that's the high point, that's the furthest point at which you can go to. V'hainu d'shayer b'chite. It's that as long as you have left behind part of the chite, so the chite are there, arytenoid cartilage, and the arytenoid cartilages are attached underneath, inside, internally in the trachea, and then if you cut through, it's a designation point, because by definition, if you stay within this point, you can see here, they're attached over here, and if you cut from the top of the shipoy ha-kova, that way, by definition, you're going to leave over some of the chite over here. So it's definitionally, that's what's going to happen, but that's a siman. To know whether you went past that location is if you need to have some of the chite over here. There is a machloket Rashi and Tosafot yesterday, exactly which is pagah velo naga. But in the end, we believe that you have to be pagah to actually touch the chite and cut the chite. And the only way to do that is to be inside of the kova over here, inside of the peak of the kova. And that's the hilkata. Rav Nachman achshar mishipoy kova ulemata. And again, Rav Nachman brings a similar view. V'amarle Rav Chanan barav katino, the Rav Nachman, kiman. Who is your position like? Loki Rabbanan, Veloki Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda. You're not holding like either one of those in our Mishnah. Both of them in the Mishnah require, within the Tavata Gedola, they require you to do the cut. Either the Chachamim, who believe you have to cut entirely within the Tabata Gedola, or Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda, who believes you have to cut at least the rove within the Tabata Gedola. You're beyond the Tabata Gedola. The kova sits, here's the Tabata Gdola, the kova sits slightly over part of the Tabata Gdola, but, and again, since your cut is way beyond the Tabata Gdola, how is it possible that it's okay? Amalei, ana lo chilek yadano, velo bilek yadano, ana shmaita yadano. Very interesting statement by Rav Nachman. He says, I don't know. Now, Rashi brings two interpretations. He brings one from his Rebbeim, says, kach shamati, and it's brought similarly in the Rabbeinu Gershom, a similar version of this, which is chilek is a real word. It means lichalek. And therefore it means, I don't know about the position of the Rabbanon, which is to cut in half the Tabata Gdola. They believe you have to have the entire cut within the Tabata Gdola. It means you have to split the Tabata Gdola according to the Chachamim. And so he's saying, I don't know about that position of the Chachamim that splits the Tabata Gdola. I also don't know about the bilek position, which Rashi brings over here, is mavlik, that you go out, meaning that you turn outward. I don't know about Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda's position, which turns out at the bottom. I mean, you only have to do the robe within Tabata Gdola, you can have the rest out. So that would be chilek and bilek, according to that. Rashi leaves that and then says, aval re'iti b'perek ha-chilek. He refers you to a Gemara in Sanhedrin in Perek ha-chilek, where they also use bilek and chilek, and clearly there it cannot mean the same thing. It's contextually not connected to this at all. And therefore he says that these are made up names. Chilek, bilek, they're just two names of individuals. And it means, who knows what they are? I don't know what you're talking about. Elaba Yadana, but I do know Ishmaita. So he doesn't, it's interesting because it's an explicit Mishnah that has the Rabbanan's position and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda's position. Nevertheless, he's discarding that and saying, I have a Memra. Dam Rabbi Chia Bava, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Vamila Amar Rabbi Ava Bar Zabda, Amar Rabbi Chanina. Vamila Amar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, Amar Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. So some question as to where this came from Mishipui Hakovo Lamata Kshera. This is the Shmita that I have. I have a Misora. That Misora tells me that it's from the Shipui Hakova and below. And that's where I have this from. These Amorai Samche are the Rebbe Chanina ben Antigonus. And Rashi tells us that these Amorai are clearly following the position of Rebbe Chanina ben Antigonus. She is Cholek on the Rabban and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, which is surprising that Rabbi Nachman doesn't mention that that's Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. He says, I have a Shemaita Tah, that's it. But the Shemaita Tah clearly follows this view of Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. So now, Va'amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi makes a statement, which the Gemara is going to say Pshita to, which is obvious here, which is, Mugremet the Rabbanan, Ksheira the Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. The Mugremet of the Rabbanan works for Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Mugremet, again, Rashi states that Mugremet is not just simply moving outside of the, above the Tabat HaGdolah. Mugremet means going anywhere where it's not a Makom Shechita. So if you have the Chachamim's view, it's that you have to cut entirely within the Tabat HaGdolah. So if, according to the Chachamim, you cut the robe within the Tabat HaGdolah and then you cut out, then for the Chachamim, that's already problematic. For Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, that's fine. That's kasher. So that's what it's saying here. Mugremet the Rabbanan, moved out of the Makom HaShechita for the Rabbanan, that would still be kosher for Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. And similarly, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda's Mugremet, which is a case where you did not cut the robe within the Tabat HaGdolah. Either you cut entirely right outside the Tabat HaGdolah, or you cut just part of it inside the Tabat HaGdolah and then moved out. For that will be Ksheira the Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. That clearly will be Kasher for Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, because Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus feels that you have much more space above the Tabat HaGedolah. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda's position is clearly Kasher to Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, and even if you move out of the area earlier than the Rove, it's still for Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, that's going to be fine. Shrita, of course. I mean, none of this is a Chiddush. You would have known this even if Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi didn't tell you this information, because you just look at the different positions, it's very obvious that this is the case. So, Maudutayma Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus Adarabonon Kai, we would think maybe Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus was stating his position with regards to the Rabbonon. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus says, Heid, there was an Eidut by Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. The question is, that Eidut that he's saying, what is it referring to? Is it referring back to the position of the Rabbonon? Is it referring to the position of Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda? If he's saying it's referring back to the position of the Rabbanan, that means that he might hold like Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Yehuda. So what it's coming to tell you is that Kamash Malan, that the position of Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus disagrees with everyone, not just the Rabbanan, but even Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Yehuda he disagrees with. Ve'ema ha'chanami, why don't we say that he only disagrees with the Rabbanan, and he agrees with Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Yehuda? Because im kein, heid alei mi ba'ilei. Because otherwise, it should have said, Heid Alei, which would have indicated that he's speaking about that which was spoken about previously, Rabbanan Heid Alei, Rabbi Chanina. That which the Rabbanan said, that's what he's testifying about. Rashi says over here, Medahatir v'nakad ala mugremet. He didn't use a pronoun, but rather he used the noun itself. He said that, Heid ala mugremet. He's made on mugremet. Why does he have to mention mugremet? Mugremet was mentioned already previously in the Mishnah. They gave the position of Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. He should have just said, Heid Alei. He spoke about Mugremet, because that was already mentioned previously. The fact that he goes out of his way to mention again Mugremet shows you that he must be going on any Mugremet that was mentioned until that point in time. That means both the position of the Rabbanan and the position of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda he disagrees with, and that means that he's arguing on both of them. Ve'hilchata Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus Tekai Rav Nachman Kavate. So here's the answer as to why we pass on like Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, because Rav Nachman, who carries heavy weight, it's interesting, his weight is really heavy with regards to dinim, because he was a dayan, and a dayan mumche. So usually in areas of dinim, we say Rav Nachman carries the day. Over here, this is an issue of Isser Veheter. Nevertheless, here again, the Gemara says the Pesach is like Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. That's what we pointed out before, that all of these Piskei Halacha are clearly like Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. But Rav Nachman's statement that this is the Shemaita Tah shows you that he clearly has to hold like Rav Chanina ben Antigonus. He's telling Rav Chanan and Rav Kadina that I don't know about Rav Bona and Rav Yossi right here, that this is what I know, but his memory is clearly following that position of Rav Chanina ben Antigonus. Alright. Amrav Huna, Amrav Asi. Machloket b'sheshachat shnei shlish v'higrim shlish. The machlok between the Rav Bona and Rav Yossi b'Rav Yehuda is in a case where you did it cleanly through two-thirds of the Tabat, and then you only pulled out, you went up out of the Tabat HaGdolah in the last third. That's because the Rabbanon Savrei, kula shchita be'inin betabata gdola. Chamim required that the entire shchita be in the tabata gdola, and you failed by pulling out at the last minute that last third. Rabbi Yehuda savar rubo kikulo. Some principle that we know from other places in Shas. Robe is like kol, so rubo kikulo. So here the rubo kikulo would mean if you got 2/3 of it in and then 1/3 out, you're fine because you got the robe of the shchita in an area that is ksheira aval. On the reverse scenario, higrim shlish. If you first started out outside the tabat hagedola, v'shachat shnei shlishei, and then you cut the remainder inside the tabat hagedola, you started in the wrong place, and then you moved into the right place, and the remaining 2/3 you cut b'makom shchita, divrei hakol psula. Everybody agrees here that it is pasul because the moment of death is at the point that you reach the rove of the kaneh. At that point in time, when you reach the rove of kaneh, or the rove of the simanim, you are now not doing a shchita that has rove inside the right area. The time you reach, let's just say 2/3. When you reach 2/3, only a half of that was done even within the area that was kasher. So that's not, clearly not good enough to get a shchita, and that's why everybody would agree that it is psula in that case. And where it explains the position, as we said, d'chi nafka chiyuta be'inan ruba b'shchita v'leka. Because everybody agrees here, the life force leaves the animal at the point of rove. At that point, you still haven't done rove of the makom shchita, hasn't been done in the right place, because you're only going to catch the rove in the back half. And because of that, it's not going to help you in this instance, and that's why everybody says, divrei hakol psula. What the Chachamim review as regards to grubo kukulo is a good question. The question is whether the Rabbanan here, that's what Rashi seems to say, reject rubo kukulo here entirely. They just don't think it is applicable in this scenario. That's what Rashi says. It seems like the Rabbanan's position is that you need kula and not rubo kukulo. Or you could argue here that their definition of rubo kukulo over here has to do with the location, which is that if you did the rove inside the makom shchita and that was it, and then you stopped, it would have been kasher according to the Chachamim. The problem is that you left the makom shchita. So it's worse than rubo kukulo. This might be a chakira in general in rubo kukulo, which is, when you say rubo kukulo, does that mean that at the point of rove, we say basically you've done the entire thing of what you wanted and it doesn't matter what happens afterwards? Or do we say that if you stopped at the rove, then we will assume that it's kukulo? But if you do something that goes against the kol, then you can't claim rubo kukulo because you did something that undermined the kulo in this case. So that would actually be the distinction here in rubo kukulo of the Chachamim. If you believe that rubo kukulo means once you hit the rove, no matter what, everything is fine, then over here for the Rabbanon, rubo kukulo, they don't hold of it whatsoever. If you believe that rubo kukulo means that the rove dictates for us what the kol would be unless you did something otherwise, then over here when you go ahead and cut it rubo, and then you do something that undermines that by going outside of the area of shchita, had you stopped there, you would have been fine, even according to the Chachamim. But the fact is, you went out the last third, that's what ruins it for the Chachamim. So those are two different ways to view what the position of the Chachamim is, and it would be related to how you view rubo kukulo in general. Does rubo kukulo, again, mean that whatever happens afterwards is meaningless? Or does it mean that we assume because you did rove, it's as if it's kulo, unless you tell us otherwise, or you do something that undermines that robe being the kol. Amar le Rav Chista, so Rav Chista suggests, back to Rav Huna, it's important to keep in mind that this memra is all Rav Huna's memra, because that's going to become a big problem in the second half of today's daf. So Amar le Rav Chista, adarabo, beima mar ipcho. Why don't you say just the opposite? Machloket vishi grim shlish, vishachach ne shlish. Let us say that machloket is where you cut, started outside by a third, and then moved into the tabat hagdola for the other 2/3. The Rav Yosi Yehuda Savar, it's no different than a kaneh that is already half open. We'll discuss this in a minute. Rabbanan, hata makom shchita. Hachalav makom shchita. Over there it was in the place of the shchita. Over here it's not. So now, chatzi kaneh pagum is that the kaneh, the trachea, has a different rule than the veshet. The veshet, we know that it's pasul, or makes it a trefa, even with any little hole in the veshet, makes it a trefa. That's why the Gemara discussed before with the hot knife, if it touched the esophagus, that anything that was singed there would already create a smallest amount of a problem with the esophagus, and that would make it problematic if you hadn't already cut the simanim. The trachea, on the other hand, needs a rove of the circumference to be missing from the trachea in order to be pasul. If you just have a hole in the trachea that doesn't reach the rove, it's not a trefa. So what he's suggesting over here is that if you had a animal where chatzia pagum, meaning half the trachea was missing, half the circumference of the trachea was missing, there was a cut in there that made it that it was missing half of it. If in that scenario you went ahead and the knife went into that hole and continued to cut, there you have a kosher shchita because you cut and you went through the trachea. It wasn't a trefa. You happened to match up with an area that was already open, but you went ahead and finished this shchita in an area that was okay. So according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, this is the same here. When you started out on the third outside of the area and then moved into the area, it's basically the equivalent of creating a open trachea. And then at the point of rove, you're inside the trachea. You shecht it in the right place at the moment that you crossed over the threshold of a rove. Just like when you have it cut a trachea that's already broken and missing a half, you did nothing. That was already there. All you did was continue to the point of rove, and the life force of the animal left at that point of rove. So similar over here. You came in at third outside, so that's going to be added to the rove to get there. But by the time you got to the rove, you were inside the makom shchita, and that should be fine. Meaning it's clear for Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, the moment of the mita, which is the rove of that siman, that's all that matters. And if you're inside the makom shchita at that point, that's fine. And from this, it would seem that you wouldn't have to finish off the shchita in the proper manner, even if you just did that middle piece that was correct, that would be enough. And that's the view of the Ramban. On the other hand, if you look in Rashi over here, Rashi notes that you actually have to finish off the shchita b'kashrut for 2/3. Because it says, umi uhacha, b'tosefet koshu lo sagile. It's not enough just to add on a little piece like the kaneh pagum. D'lo mitztarfa hagrama lachshurei l'shchita. Because that hagrama in the beginning doesn't add up to the shchita. Ho v'lav makom shchitahu. Because it's not the place of shchita. Therefore, according to Rashi, only if you have the remaining 2/3 that is done b'shchita properly does it work. And you need rov shchita b'makom shchita, that is kasher. The Rabbanan's response to him is exactly the difference. That when you're talking about a trachea that's chatzi pagum, you're cutting always inside of the makom shchita. Even the missing piece of the trachea is within the makom shchita. You're just extending it. In this scenario, you're cutting, your first cut is outside the makom shchita. You only move into the makom shchita for the point that crosses over the threshold of a rove. And that's problematic. So that's why it would be different, or that's why they would differentiate in this case. That's the view of the Chachamim, and that's where they argue. On the other hand, in the reverse scenario, in a scenario where it is aval shachat shnei shlish, if you shecht the 2/3 within the tabat agdola, v'higrim shlish, and then you only moved out for the last third, divrei hakol k'sheira. There, everybody would agree that it's k'sheira, because even the Chachamim only dismissed it because you started outside the makom shkita and then came to the rove in the makom shkita. But clearly, if you hit the rove inside the makom shkita, then it would have been k'sheira. So here it's clear that Chachamim hold the rubo kukulo according to this version, the hatnan, because we have a mishnah rubo shalachad kamohu. We have it later on in the Masechta. It's going to tell us by the simanim that rove of any siman is sufficient to be the equivalent of cutting the entire siman. That is a mishnah that has no attribution to it, and the assumption being that it's divrei hakol, that rubo shalachad kamohu, and that means even the Chachamim subscribe to this idea of rubo. Kukulo. So Amar Leh Rav Yosef, Ma Neimalan, Da Ruba Da Hatam, Lav Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda Ktanila, who says that the authorship of that Braita is Divrei Hakol. Tell me Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda Ktanila. Maybe that's Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. Maybe he just was the one who wrote it, and then you have no proof from that Mishnah. So Amar Leh Abaye, Abaye says back to Rav Yosef, his Rebbe, Atu Kol Ruba Da Alma, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda Ktanila. You're going to tell me now, anytime Ruba Kukulo appears in Shas, we're going to assume that the attribution is to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Nobody else holds of this principle. Nobody else would say this principle. You automatically assume that it's Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. So Malay, Rabbi Yossi says back to him, wait a minute. Ana ruba de shchita kamina, de shmana loho de plige. Now I'm talking about within the world of shchita, we know explicitly that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda believes in or subscribes to this position of rubo kukulo. And therefore I can't come to a conclusion that any statement within the Mishnah is not attributable to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, because it's very likely that it is in support of his position or attribution to his position. And then you can't prove to me that the Chachamim must hold of it because you didn't give attribution. We know where Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda holds. And he is explicit in the Mishnah we just passed that Rubo Kikulo. And maybe that Mishnah further on then is also his when we say Rubo Kikulo. That's one version of it. Lishnach Rina is another version of this. It just changes the parties that are speaking. It's the same din, which is Amri Law, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Asi, Over here, the way we had it was Rav Chista challenging Rav Huna Amram Rav Asi. Over here, it's Rav Huna Amram Rav Asi himself who's making the statement and saying, Machloket b'shigrim shlish, b'shachat shnei shlish. The machloket is when you started outside the Tabat HaGdola and then moved into the Tabat HaGdola. Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda Savar Mide Dehavi Achatzi Kaneh Pagum, that it's the equivalent of the situation in which the trachea is already damaged. Rabbanon Hata Makom Shchita Hachalav Makom Shchita. Chachamim say it's different. That case, the damage in the trachea is in an area that's kosher the shchita. Over here, the first third that you put into the cut is outside the Makom Shchita. Aval Shchachat Shnei Shlish V'Igrim Shlish. But in a scenario, we did two thirds within the right place and then moved out. Divya Kol Ksheira Tahatanan Rubo Shalachad Kamo. Because everybody subscribed to this idea of Rubo Kukulo. And even the Chachamim would agree that's fine. Mat Kifla Rav Chista. So now Rav Chista is the challenger to this position. Instead of being Rav Yosef, it's Rav Chista here. Man Leimelan Dahu Ruba Dahatam Lav Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda Ketani La. Who says that he didn't write it? Delma Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda Ketani La. Maybe the Mishnah on Chavav, where we're going to see Ruba Shalachad Kamo, is not a Divrei Akol. It's not the Rabbanan's position. That is the position of Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. Maybe that's the case. Amale Rav Yosef. Now, instead of Abaye challenging Rav Yosef, it's Rav Yosef challenging Rav Chista. Atokol Rubi Dalma Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda Ketani La. You're going to ascribe any time that the Mishnah says Ruba Kukulo, that's Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. How can you make a statement like that? I'm alay. Ana Ruba de Shchita Kamina. Now I'm speaking about within the world of Shchita, Ruba Kukulo should be ascribed to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, de Shmanaluhu, de Plige, because we heard, or we know that his position is that they argue about this matter, and he's the one of the position that it is Ruba Kukulo in our Mishnah that we just brought. And therefore, it would make sense that he's also the author of the Mishnah further on that says, Rubo Shalachad Kamo. All right, now, move into a new scenario. Higrim Shlish, V'Shachad Shlish, V'Higrim Shlish. He was out, went in, and then went back out. So he was outside the Makom HaShchita, came in for the middle third, and then left for the last third. Rav Huna Amar Rav K'sheira. Rav Huna Rav says K'sheira. You can understand why that would be that it is K'sheira over here, because at the moment that the life was taken, he was in the Makom HaShchita. We know that the Rov is the point where that is the moment of Shchita, quote-unquote, the threshold point. And at that threshold point, you were inside the Makom HaShchita. Rav Huda Amar Rav, so you have a different view. So this is Rav Huna, who's a Talmud of Rav, and Rav Yehuda, who's a Talmud of Rav. They're bringing different memorot from Rav. Rav Yehuda says, Trefa. It would seem to be that Rav Yehuda's position is premised on the fact that the Rov has to be done by Makom HaShchita. When you reached the rope point, you weren't at Makom HaShchita. You already had a third that was outside and then a third inside. Rav Huna Amar K'sheira, Hinafka Chiyuta B'Shchita Kanafka. Because the moment that the animal lost its life was at a point when you were in the Makom HaShchita, and that's why it's fine. Rav Huna Amar Rav, Trefa, it is a Trefa, Be'inan Ruba B'Shchita V'Leka. You need to do a rove of Shchita, and that you don't have there. Here you have a third out, a third in, and a third out. So what I suggested before was that the reason that he thinks it's pasul is because you needed the first robe to be there. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that you just need a robe, bishchita. At least a robe of whatever you cut there needs to be a makom shchita. Because what I see in a second, in the reverse scenario, he says it's kasher. Even though you don't have it the moment of the life force leaving, you do not have it inside that point. It's only this last third that gets you the ruba, the bishchita. Shachat shlish, v'higrim shlish, v'shachat shlish. Started outside, moved in to the Makom HaShchita, and then went back out again. So the first third was in, the second third was out, the third third went back into the Makom HaShchita. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, K'sheira, just the opposite of what his position was before. He says here, K'sheira. So you see, first of all, two things. One is that the threshold point is not necessarily meaningful. That's number one. Number two is you see that the Rov HaShchita does not have to be the first Rov. The Rov doesn't have to be done at the moment of his life. It just has to be Rov HaShchita of the entire Siman, which means that even if you have the first third and the last third, that's still the Rov, and that's the Makom HaShchita, and that works. Atu Shailu the Rav Huna. So somebody made the mistake of, after getting a psak from Yehuda, went and asked Rav Huna what the psak was. And he says, Amar Lahu, Trefa. He says it's a Trefa. I mean, this is Rav Huna's position just in the reverse. Which is Rav Huna said before, when you had a third out, a third in, and then a third out, the middle third was in, was at the moment of the life force leaving, that was in a kosher place. Here it's just the opposite, because the middle third is outside the Makom HaShchita, and so therefore when you hit the point where the animal's life force leaves, you're outside the Makom HaShchita at that moment. He said, Shomer Rav Yehuda, Ikpid. Rav Yehuda heard this, that Rav Huna was arguing on him, and he got upset about the fact that he disagreed with him. Amar Tarifna umachshir. He says, when I say it's a treifa, you're a machshir. Okay, that was the previous scenario. The first scenario where Rav Huna said it was a treifa and Rav Yehuda said it was kshira. Umachsharna. And now over here, when I say it's kasher, you, tarif, you make it into a treifa. You're passing against me in all these scenarios. So Amar Rav Huna, shaper kam mikvad. Rav Huna says about himself that Rav Yehuda was right to be machmid on this. Chada, yushmiele minei, the Rav. He heard it in the name of Rav, ana lo shmieli. I didn't hear it from Rav's name. Meaning that if you looked carefully, the first memra, where it was a shlish out, a shlish in, and then a shlish out, there both Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda quoted in the name of Rav. So that they did have a memra in the name of Rav. On the other hand, when it came to the second scenario, which was a third in, a third out, and then a third in, Rav Yehuda quotes it in the name of Rav. But Rav Huna just says, Amar Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda doesn't quote it in the name of Rav. So he says, first of all, he's right to be makbid on me, because over here in this scenario, I don't have a mesora, and he does have a mesora from Rav. That's one, I was wrong about that. Number two is, vod, vayika ruba b'shchita. And he's right that you have, they have a rov in shchita. It happens to be that, yes, it was the middle third was out, but at least there you have a rov in shchita. Amale Rav Chista lo tahar bach. Rav Chista comes to the aid of Rav Huna and says, don't back down. You shouldn't back off of your position, because the im kain mafsadata la lekamaita. Then you're going to lose your first shmaita, because the second memra is just the opposite of the first memra. So if the second memra is opposite of the first memra, if you drop your position in the second memra, you're going to have to drop your position in the first memra. And in the first memra, you have a mesora from Rav. So now, if you're going to back down and say Rav Huna is right in this case, that means you have to say he's right in the first case as well. You say he's right in the first case, then you there heard from Rav directly, and that you have a mesora for. That's what he says. Hota my time, why in the first scenario were you machshir it? Because the middle third happened while you were inside the makom hashchita, and therefore the threshold point of the life force leaving was in a place when you did it when it was kasher. And that's why you said it was kasher. Over here it's just the opposite. The middle third was done outside the makom hashchita, and the life force leaves when you're outside the makom hashchita, and therefore you should uphold your position and not back down from your position. Okay, that's the end of these two memrot. I said to you to keep in mind Rav Huna's position. Because over here, we just had two memrot from Rav Huna, and they are soter each other. We just had this shita of Rav Huna over here. Rav Huna says, in a situation or a scenario, we had a third outside, a third in the makom hashchita, and then a third outside. That works, because as long as you had that middle third that was at a threshold point where the life force left, that would be enough to make it kasher. That's what Rav Huna just said here in the name of Rav. Above, Rav Huna was the one who told us that the machloket was either with two-thirds inside the makom hashchita, one-third out, or even vice versa. One-third out, but two-thirds in. But what was clear in both of those scenarios, Rav Huna required that at least two-thirds of it be inside. He said in this first scenario, first of all, did we recall that if you started out a third outside and then moved two-thirds in, that was pasul. That goes against this for sure. And the Lashon Rishon of Rav Huna clearly goes against this. But even in the Lashon Shnia, it goes against this because, yes, they argued in the scenario of a third out and then two-thirds in, but he still required that the latter two-thirds be in order for it to be kasher. He didn't say that the third out and then all you needed was a third in. He still required two-thirds to be in order for it to work. Over here, he says that clearly if you're outside the Makom Shkita and you come in, it would have been fine. So Rashi already notes the problem. And Rashi says over here, he says, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda over here, who are saying the memra to the name of Rav, are not speaking within Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda's Shita. And they're not dealing with their machloket. Team Cain, because if he was speaking about that, Kasha, the Rav Huna, the Rav Huna. Because I will plug to the Rabbanan, Rav Yossi, Kaimo. That has to do with Rav Yossi, Rav Yudan, the Rabbanan. Rav Huna Mishmei, the Rav Asi, Ka'amarla. That was Rav Huna in the name of Rav Asi. V'ha, over here, Amugremet, the Shipoi Kova, Kaime. Rav Chanina ben Antigonus. This is within the position Rav Chanina ben Antigonus, where it's Rav Huna Mishmei, the Rav, Ka'amarla. So Rashi says that there are two distinctions here that make it that it's not a stira in Rav Huna. One of which is the fact that the attribution is different. In the first scenario, Rav Huna was quoting the name of Rav Asi. Over here, Rav Huna is quoting in the name of Rav. So that's first of all. So it's not Rav Huna himself, it's Rav Huna in the name of Rav and Rav Huna in the name of Vasi. So that's one solution to the problem. The second point he makes is not only is the fact that there's Masora is different, but he also says that in the previous scenario it was clear when it was Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Vasi, he was speaking in the Machloket Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda, and the Rabbanan, our Mishnah. He was explaining what's the Machloket in our Mishnah. But we know the Halacha, as Rav Nachman already told us, we don't paskin like our Mishnah. We paskin like Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus. So what he's saying is that the statements here of Rav Huna Amar Rav are within the position of Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus and not Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda, and the Rabbanan. This is a totally different issue. It's not about their Machloket, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda, and Rabbanan. So he actually says they're not soter. Not only is there different attribution, they're speaking about different scenarios completely. One's talking about Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rabbanan. The other one's talking about Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus, and they don't overlap at all. And therefore the din is different and has nothing to do with the other din. So that's how Rashi solved the problem. If you look at the Bali Tosfot in the previous Amud, the last Bali Tosfot, bring the same problem. He says, Vahada Pasul Rav Huna Lael, Higrim Shlish, Shachat Shnei Shlish. How come before he says when you do Higrim Shlish and do Shnei Shlish, why is that he was posel? Hata Mishmei de Rav Asi. Over there was in the name of Rav Asi. Hacha Mishmei de Rav. Here it's the name of Rav. So the question is, the Tosafot argue on Rashi. Because if you look carefully, Tosafot is saying that the distinction between the two Memrot is simply the attribution. It's Rav and Rav Asi. What he doesn't mention is the fact that there may have been different scenarios completely. One was Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rabbanan, and one was Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus. So you conclude from that, does Tosafot agree with Rashi or disagree with Rashi? It's very possible that he doesn't agree with Rashi. He thinks he's speaking about the same scenario. Both scenarios are speaking about Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbanan, despite the fact that there's a stira. The stira is resolved by the fact that Rav Huna in the first case is quoting Rav Asi, and in the second case he's quoting Rav, and that's the solution to the problem. That's the way that the Maharam views it, that he's actually arguing on Rashi over here. On the other hand, the Marsha and others think that Tosafot is saying the same thing as Rashi. He's doing a shorthand form. He's just saying the attribution is different, but also the scenarios are different. But he doesn't necessarily disagree with Rashi. And obviously, that does have nafkaminot over here, because if the whole thing is in within the position of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rabbanan, then it has no halachic ramification, because that's all positions that we dismiss. If it's in the position of Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus, then it has a halachic impact, because we pass on like Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus. And now if you tell me a memra in the position of Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus, that's going to have halachic implications. The other point that Tosaf makes earlier is that when Rav Huna quotes in the name of Rav Asi, he says over here, it's Hainu Rav Asi, Chaveru Sherav Kahana. That's Rav Asi, who was the peer to Rav Kahana, Shil Gdolim, that they didn't need Rav's help with these situations. Of a Rabbi Asi, so he's saying there's a difference between Rav Asi and Rabbi Asi, Lav Hainu Rav Asi. They're not the same people. The Katan Mirav Huna Haya, because Rabbi Asi was younger than Rav Huna. And therefore, it can't be that Rav Huna's quoting Rabbi Asi in this situation. What he's pointing out is that we're speaking about Rav Asi of the Amora from Bavel, who is Rav Kahana's peer, and we're not speaking about Rabbi Asi, who is younger than Rav Huna, and Amora of Eretz Yisrael, and he's just helping you understand that to make sure that it's Rav Asi and not Rabbi Asi. Okay, and the Gemara continues. Ikla Rav Nachman the Sura. Rav Nachman went to Sura. Bo Minei Shachat Shlish. This is the topic that we've been discussing until now. If a person did a shechita with first third is within the makom shechita, middle third is outside, and then the last third is back in the makom shechita, what's the din? Isn't that the same as the statement of Rabbi Elazar ben Minyume? The Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Minyume, shechita hasuya kemasrek. If you have a shechita that's like a comb back and forth, like the teeth of a comb, it's going in and out, in and out. Kshera. That's considered to be kshera. They're saying, how is this different? This is the equivalent of in, out, and in and out. Here he's talking about multiple in and out. Here we're talking about one out and then back in. So maybe it should be the same din. And whatever din applies there should apply here. If Rabbi Elazar ben Minyume in multiple movements in and out is makshir, then certainly in one movement out and back in should be makshir. Mar says, b'dilma b'makom shechita. Wait a minute. For Rabbi Elazar ben Minyume, maybe his statement's made when the entire thing is done within the Makom HaShechita. Who says that the moving in and out, the zigzag, was done outside and inside the Makom HaShechita? That's not clear from his statement. Mar says, Makom HaShechita, Maila Memra. If the entire cut is within the Makom HaShechita, who cares that you went back and forth and back and forth? Why should that matter? So, Ma'udu Teima Be'inyan Shechita Mifurat, we would think that you might require a Shechita Mifurat, means a clean and open Shechita. And Rashi quotes the pasuk by Sota, Upara et Rosh HaIsha, which means to expose, to unbundle, open up hair of the woman by the Sota. And so here it means, Furat means open. And you don't have that. Beleka, that's missing when you do it in a zigzag manner. When you cut straight through, then the Makom HaShechita opens. It widens out and opens easily. On the other hand, if you're going back and forth, that's not what's going to happen. It's not going to open up the Makom HaShechita. You're going to get a mixed slice that's going to catch and move back and forth. It's not going to be like a wide open slice that you would expect from a Shechita. So the Kamash Malon is that that's okay. Even if you don't get that wide opening, that's okay over here. And that's the Chiddush. But then you have no proof to what Rav Nachman just said, because this scenario is different than that which Rav Nachman connected to Rav Elazar bar Numnume. Yativ Rabbi Ava, achorei de Rav Kahana. So Rabbi Ava was sitting behind Rav Kahana. Yativ ka Rav Kahana, kamei de Rav Yehuda. And he was sitting in front of Rav Yehuda. Yativ ka Amar. And now he's saying over a memra. Shachat shlish, third of it was inside the Makom HaShechita. Behigrim shlish, third of it outside. Shachat shlish, mau. Amar lei. Shchitato ksheira. This is Rabbi Yehuda the Shchitato. We saw him quote Rav before. The Shchitato ksheira, because ruba of the Shchita was done b'makom Shchita. Higrim shlish, if he went outside 1/3, shachat shlish was inside for the middle 1/3. Vehigrim shlish went outside mau. Amalei Shchitato psula. This is Rabbi Yehuda Marav, exactly like we saw him before, that he thinks that you need majority b'makom Shchita. And over here, in the first scenario, you have that. In the second scenario, you don't have that. Shachat b'makom ha-nekev mahu. What happens if you shecht in a place where there was a hole already? Amalei shchitato ksheira. That is fine. Shachat upaga bo nekev. What happens if you shecht and then you bumped into the hole? Mahu. Amalei shchitato psula. Shchita is pasul. So the assumption being that if you started out with a hole and you extend the hole, whatever you did afterwards, then you can say the shechita is a ksheira. You're just expanding on what was there already. The problem becomes where you shechted and the hole was on the other side of the trachea. And so you get through this part of the trachea and then you hit the hole. There was some crack in the trachea that was already there. So if you started from the side where the crack was, you're just extending it. That we already saw on the previous amud, that if you extend it, everybody agrees, if you extend the part of the trachea that was already pagum, that's considered to be shechitato b'ksheira. On the other hand, over here, when you're slicing through and you hit at the midway point, you hit the hole, then you're going to hit the hole before you hit Rov Bishchita, and that's not considered to be Rov Bishchita. The truth is, in the other scenario too, it was open, right, but you were the one who brought it across the threshold of a Rov. Over here, the hole brought you across the threshold of a Rov. That would be seemingly the difference between them, and you can understand the logic, which is that at the moment of Rov, you must be the one actively doing the Shchita. And even if the robe is created not only through you, and it's created partly before the crack, and the other half is you, but you hit the robe point, you were the one doing the shchita. In the reverse scenario, you did the shchita, but the robe is created by the hole that already exists in the back of the trachea. So then, this memra gets carried over to numerous people. Azel, Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Avo was in the beginning of the scenario sitting behind Rav Kahana. Amra kamed to Rabbi Elazar. He told this over to Rabbi Elazar. Azal Rabbi Lazar, Amar Kameh Rabbi Yochanan. He went and took it to Rabbi Yochanan. Amalei Maishna. What's the difference? Amalei Shachat b'makom nekev, nasek misha shachat oved kochavim v'gamar Yisrael. So he says, that's equivalent of a scenario where the oved kochavim began the shechita, and the Jew completed the shechita, which means at the moment that the shechita reached that threshold point, it was the Jew that was the one who was doing it. Shachat upaga bo nekev, the reverse scenario where you shecht, then you hit the nekev, is the equivalent of nasek misha shachat Yisrael. The Jew began it, did 50%, and then the last threshold piece over the robe was done by gamar oved kochavim. Kari alei, oved kochavim, which seems to be not necessarily the nicest compliment to give him. He called him an oved kochavim. One possibility is that he, Rabbi Yochanan, called Rabbi Elazar oved kochavim, a little bit of a push against him and calling him an Ovid Kochavim. You compare it to Ovid Kochavim, you're like an Ovid Kochavim. And that would have been obviously much stronger, sharper type of response to him. But then Rashi says, Lo shekor lo Ovid Kochavim, ela ligleg alav. He was making fun of him. Ovid Kochavim, klomar, shchitat Ovid Kochavim, ata tolet amecha, chol yom ata yechol lomar Ovid Kochavim, ena tamim domim. Ovid Kochavim, shmog Ovid Kochavim, it doesn't matter. That what you're bringing down is not meaningful. So Amar Rabba, Shapir Karyalei Oved Kochavim Oved Kochavim. Rabba comes to the defense of Rabbi Yochanan. Usually we find this in Shas, that Rabba comes to the defense of his Rebbe, Rav Nachman. that Rava was either shut down by Rav Nachman, or Rav Nachman shut somebody else down, and then Rava reflects back on it and says Rav Nachman was right for doing this, even though Rav Nachman didn't explain it, Rava comes to his defense, he says Talmud. Well, here it's interesting that Rava comes to the defense in a similar manner of Rabbi Yochanan, and says that Rabbi Yochanan's statement over here was correct. Bishlama hatam midahavale liYisrael mishkat ruba velo shachat kinafak chiyuta bidada obi kochavim kanafka. Over there, the person that should have been shechting when you hit the rove point was a Jew. If the knife is in the hand of obi kochavim, it doesn't work because he's the one doing the shechitanian. Elahacha michte mishkat shachit mali makom nechav mali pagabo nechav. Over here, you did whatever was necessary to complete the shechita. Meaning that there was only half a trachea there. And what does it matter whether the half trachea was in the front part of the trachea or in the back part of the trachea? Either way, you needed to get a hole that was a rove, and you did whatever shechita was available to you. You did it, get it past the rove. So I mean, even if you started the shechita and then it ended because you hit the hole, you checked at any piece of the trachea that was there, that was available, that would have made it a rove shechita. And that works either way, whether you started in the hole or you completed it with the hole. In both those scenarios, you did whatever shechita was available to get to that point of rove. In the scenario of the Ovei Kochavim, there was more for you to do, and you let someone else do it. Or he started it, but it was more to do, and you took over. But when there was more to do, and you weren't involved, then it's good. When there's more to do, and he's involved, then it's problematic. So that's Rabbi Yochanan's logic, and he rejects this view of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, that started there, and then was passed Rabbi Abba, and then Rabbi Abba to Rabbi Lazar, and then Rabbi Lazar to Rabbi Yochanan, and he says that he doesn't think that that's the right distinction to make, and therefore Rav Nachman's rejecting that distinction that Rabbi Yehuda makes. He says you have to be consistent in the din. It seems from the Gemara that the consistency would mean that it's kosher in both of these scenarios. Over here, Tosfot points out that it's important to know that even Rabbi Yehuda before, who said that when you did Shachat Shlish, Higrim Shlish, and Shachat Shlish, the Rabbi Yehuda said that was fine before, the Hatam Shlo B'Makom Shchita, because there was Lo B'Makom Shchita, but Shachat B'Makom HaNekev, Adif Tfei. That's better than Fishu Makom HaShchita. Higrim Shlish, V'Shachat Shlish. That's better than the case where you went outside, inside, and then outside, that Rabbi Yehuda said it's no good, because over there, you were outside the Makom HaShchita. Over here, even though the Nekev exists and you're not doing the Shchita, it's still the Rove is in the area where there is a Makom Shchita. So that's how he distinguishes between Rabbi Yehuda's position before and Rabbi Yehuda's position over here. Right now, we move on to the next Mishnah. Ashochet min hatzdadim, shchitato kshera. If you shecht from the sides of the animal, then the shchita is good. The proper place of shchita is from the neck of the animal where the simanim are. That's where you want to cut. You want to cut the simanim first. What you're really trying to do is cut the simanim before you make the animal into a trefa. The thing that would make the animal into a trefa is if you hit the spinal column in the back and you break the spinal column, that would make the animal into a trefa. So you can imagine that if you cut, which we're going to see in a second, from the back of the neck, that's obviously going to be problematic because you're going to be mitaref the animal before you ever reach the point of the simanim. But given the layout of the neck of the animal and how thick the neck is and wide it is, there, if you cut from the sides, you will always hit the simanim before you hit the mifareket. Therefore, whether you cut from the front or you cut from the sides, it's going to be kshera with regards to a behema and shchita. And Toso points out that that's only bidyavad, although Rashi says it's even lechatchila, that min hatzdadim would be totally fine. Don't worry about you breaking the backbone of the animal. As according to the Baal Tosafot, it's gzera atu lo echzir. We worry about the fact that you didn't move the simanim over there, and therefore you hit the backbone before you actually cut through the simanim. Hamolek min hatzdadim, on the other hand, if you do malika from the sides, Malikato psula. Malika doesn't work. That's because the Torah specifies where you have to do malika. We're going to see that in the Gemara. That's mul ha'oref. Mul ha'oref is a very particular location. We're going to see it's the nape of the neck. And that can only be done there and nowhere else. So if you go to tzadim, you're not mul ha'oref, and that's not going to work. Hashochet min ha'oref, if you do shchita from the back of the neck, which is what we just discussed, then shchitato psula. There you clearly shchita is problematic because you're going to break the neck. So you're making it to a trefa before you hit the simanim. We're going to see your question is relevant. What happens if you pull the simanim behind the spinal column? Then it'll be okay as long as you cut the simanim first. So if there's a way to move the simanim behind the spinal column, then you could do it without being mitaref the animal. Hamolek min oref. You do malika from the oref. Malika tok shera. That's the place where you're supposed to do the malika. The malika of the bird is with your fingernail going back through the back of the neck of the bird. Ah, you're going through the spinal column first. That's the gzera takatu. Gzerda Katuv is that the Balikah is done with you going through the spinal column, then through the Simanim, and that's known. That's the only way you're going to have to do it. You don't have to pull the Simanim forward. Now, you do have to leave Rova Basar, which is that the only way it makes it into a Trefa is if you hit the spinal column and Rova Basar. So the question of whether you cut the Rova Basar before you get to the Simanim or not, that is a question that has to be dealt with. But otherwise, this is Gzerat HaKatuv. And even though technically you're going through the spinal column first, that's fine, as long as you hit the Simanim afterwards. Shochet min HaTzavar, person does Shkita min HaTzavar, which is the way you're supposed to do it. Shkitato Ksheira, that's obvious. Now Rashi points out in both the scenarios here, when he said it by, you know, Oref and min HaTzavar, even though in the scenario of Shkita, it's Ksheira LaChatchila. And even though in the case of Malika, it's also Ksheira LaChatchila, it uses a Lashon B'diavad because of the other Tzad, which is for the Malika. If you do Shkita min HaOref, it's Pasol even B'diavad. So then when it said Ksheira, it said Ksheira B'diavad, even though it's really Ksheira LaChatchila. And similarly over here, Shochet min HaTzavar, Shkitato Ksheira, it's not just Ksheira, that's where you do it. That's Ksheira LaChatchila. But the reason you have to say it's only B'diavad is because Amalek min HaTzavar min HaKato P'sula is P'sula even B'diavad. So in both cases, they use the Lashon of B'diavad, even though it really means LaChatchila because of the Pasol side of it. Shekol HaOref Ksheira LaMelika, the entire nape of the neck is good for melika. Chol HaTzavar Ksheira L'Shkita, and the entire neck is Ksheira L'Shkita. Neck means the front of the neck and the sides of the neck. The Oref is the back of the neck. So you're going to have three locations that are good for Shkita, and you're going to have the back of the neck, which is the one location no good for Shkita, which is good for melika. Nimtza, Ksheira B'Shkita, Pasul B'Melika, Ksheira B'Melika, Pasul B'Shkita. And here's the principle that they are the antithesis of each other, meaning that whatever's kasher by shkita is pasol by melika, and whatever's kasher by melika is pasol by shkita. My oref. Now the Gemara wants to know, what is the oref over here? You're telling me that you have to do melika and the oref. What exactly is the oref? Ilei ma oref mamash. If you say literally the oref. Now Rashi explains over here, oref means the back of the head, opposite the face. That would be the back of your skull. That would be the oref. The oref is exactly what's opposite your panim, your face. So Mayiriya Shochet, he says, if that's the problem there, why is Shochet the only problem there? Afilu Molek Nami. Then Molek should also be problematic. If you say the definition of Oref in our Mishnah means literally Oref, which is the back of the head opposite the face, and not only is that problematic from the perspective of Shchita, that's problematic from the perspective of Melika. Mimul Arpo Amar Rachmana, Velo Arpo. Because Melika has to be done Mimul Arpo. Not done on the Oref. Elamai Oref. So then what is the meaning of the Oref in our Mishnah? Mimul Oref. It means the nape of the neck. Now, the Gemara is going to explain in 1 second. Mula Oref means the place that sees the Oref. Something that views the Oref. Kedutani Seifa, as the Seifa says. Kolo Oref, Kasher Lemelika. Because that would make sense then in the Mishnah. Kolo Oref is Kasher Lemelika. It must be the place that the Torah says is Kasher, which is Mul Ha'Oref. Mehanahane Mile. So how do you know that that's the location? The Tanur Banan, Mimul Arpo. Mul haro'e et ha'oref has been the location that sees the oref. V'cheinu omer, dehu yoshev mimuli. They are sitting or they are situated opposite me. This is by Balak. When he's calling up Bilam, he's saying, dehu yoshev mimuli. They are in camp opposite me. So there you see mimuli means to be opposite or something that you have visibility towards that you can't see. V'omer, ki panu elai oref velo panim. And now you have the definition of oref, which is what Hashem complains about B'nai Israel, that they turned their back of their heads to me as opposed to their faces. They should have been facing me. Instead, they've turned their heads the opposite way, which means the back of their head is facing me. So there you know, what's the definition of oref? The opposite of panim. What's the definition of mul oref? That's something that has visibility or situated next to or adjacent to, but visibility towards the oref. And that was, again, the nape of the neck, which is where the placement of where the melika should be done. My vomer. Why do you have to say vomer? Why do you have to bring me that second pasuk? Should have been enough from the Mimuli. Should have taught us that information. I told you Mul Oref means it sees the Oref. Then you say to me, what's Oref? How do you know what the Oref is? Maybe the Oref means this whole area. How do you know what it means? That's it. And you want to know, how do you know what the Mul is? Because you need to know what the Oref is. That's what the Omer is. Tashma, ki panu elai Oref velo panim. That's what it's teaching you, what's the Oref, in order to know what the Mul HaOref is. And that's why you have Omer. Omer is not teaching you the location, again, of the Mul Oref. It's teaching you what the Oref is, if you want to know. Now you know Mul Oref means to see the Oref. You need to know what the Oref is. This is the definition of Oref. Michlau, the Oref, the Hadipanim. And that's the conclusion, what we said from that pasuk, which is that the Oref means opposite the face. Amrei b'nei Rabbi Chiya. Mitzvat malika makzir simanim la'choreh ha'oreh. So he says that the way you do malika is not what we said, that you go through the bone, but rather you move the simanim around to the behind the spinal cord. Umalik, when they're behind the spinal cord. Ikadamrei. So some have this memra of b'nei Rabbi Chiya af makzir, that if you did that, it would be okay. Ikadamrei makzir dafka. You must do it that way. So the question is, is this the chatchila, the way you must do it, which means you must cut the simanim before the spinal cord in order that it's not a treifa? Or is this simply saying that if you happen to do that, it's okay, even though the gzeirat hakatuv is that you can go straight through the backbone? Umistavra k'man damar af machzir. Says, it makes more sense like the one who says that this is also a way to do it, but you don't have to do it this way. Bimai. Midiktani ha-shochet mina oref shkitato psula. It says, whoever does shkita from the oref, that's pasul. Amaloik mina oref milikato k'sheira. We said in the Mishnah that these are opposing positions. Shechita and Malika sit opposite each other. So it's saying here that the Shechita from the Oref is no good. Malika from the Oref is good. But that means whatever was bad by the Shechita is good by the Malika. Vis'agadatcha makzir dafka. If you think you must move the simanim behind the backbone, ma'iriya malik. Afilu shochet nami. If that's the case, then Shechita would have been kshera. That's what I noted to you for before, that when you shecht from the back of the neck of the animal, the only problem is that you make it a treifa first, because you're going through the spinal column. If you move the simanim around the spinal column and cut them first, in okanami, that would have worked, and it would have been a kasher shchita. And so that's what the Gemara is pointing out here. If you believe that the requirement, according to Bnei Baruch Chiya, is by milika, you must move the simanim around the back, then why does our Mishnah say that where you do the milika, the shchita is psula? It's not true. Shchita would have been kshera in the same way the milika is done, the shchita would have been fine. Alav shomina. Af Magzir said that it must be the statement of B'nai Rabbi Chiyah was only that you could do it. If you happen to move them around, then it's okay. But you don't have to move them around. And Umatznitan B'dolahadar. And our Mishnah is a scenario where you didn't move them around. That's why in our Mishnah, the Shechita is Psula, because you went through the backbone. And the Malika is fine, because the Gzeret HaKatuv is you could go through the backbone, or the spinal column, before you hit the Simanim. B'nai Rabbi Chiyah is saying, if you happen to move the Simanim around, it also works. But you don't have to do that. You can go through the spinal column, because that's gzeirat hakatuv, and in the case of shechita, that for sure would be psula. Okay? We're going to stop here, three lines down, on the top of chof amud aleph.